welcome everybody here this morning. Appreciate each one of you being here. And welcome to those of you who are worshiping with us on our live streaming. We appreciate you being with us. A couple of things before we begin the lesson this morning to tell you about. I have a whole bunch of books that I am not keeping, and I have placed them on some tables in the counter in the fellowship hall. Those books are there for anybody. If you want to go through those and any that you want to take and keep, you are welcome to them. Whatever is left over will be placed in the church library. So go through those and get any you want. And because I've emptied all of those books out of my office, I have two bookshelves that I need to get in the back of my truck. Right? So I'm hoping that I can get a couple of guys after we finish this morning to put those bookshelves in the back of my truck for me so that I can take those to the house. So appreciate that. Okay, we're talking about last things, the last opportunities to share with you. We've had six different opportunities, and we are down to the last two. Now, because of what happened last weekend, and I wasn't able to be with you to share number five, we're doing number five today, okay? The last lesson in this series of the six things that I want to share with you, I will be doing that lesson, but it will be on Wednesday, the 28th. We're going to have a combined Bible class that night. And I will share that very last lesson with everyone then. I'm sorry about that, you know, the things happened the way they did, but I still would like to share that last lesson with as many folks as can be here that Wednesday night. So if you can come out and be here, that's what we'll be doing on the 28th of this month. All right? So, six opportunities. Six of the most important things that I felt like that I can say to you to leave you with. And as I've said all along, these are not anything new, things that you haven't heard before, but they are, in my feeling, some of the most important things that I really want to impress upon you. And all of this has been because, as I've been telling you all along, this is to prepare all of us for the end times, for the day of the Lord, because though I may not see many of you again in this life, I do want to see every single one of you in heaven one day. I want us to be together again. And these six things that I'm sharing with you are some of the most important that I think I want to encourage you to really keep in mind and on your hearts and to pay attention to so that one day we can be together again in heaven. All right? So this morning we're going to look at lesson number five in this series is talking about walking with God. And the emphasis on this lesson is on the word with. Okay, we're talking about walking with God. So we think about how good walking is for us. You know, a lot of times, Cindy and I, you want to go for a walk, and so we'll go out and walk around the neighborhood. We like to say that we do that for exercise. She does it for exercise. I do it just to be with her. Because, you know me, I'm opposed to exercise. Walking really is great for exercise. It is also really great for fellowship, just spending time with one another. So walking is something that all of us can do and probably, I should say, should do a lot more of. But we're going to be talking about walking with God, because walking describes the relationship that God had with man before sin came into the world. Okay? In Genesis chapter 3, it describes that relationship this way. This is after Adam and Eve had eaten of the fruit that they were told not to eat from, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Their eyes were open. They realized they were naked and they were ashamed. And then they heard the sound. What sound? The sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. That's the sound that they heard. And as you've heard me talk about this many times before, they knew exactly what that sound was. It wasn't a strange sound to them. It was one they were very familiar with. Well, how do we know that? Well, if you keep reading down, it tells us Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" And look at what he said. Adam responds by saying, "I heard your voice in the garden." Well, what does that tell us? He knew the voice of God. He knew what God sounded like. He knew what it sounded like to have God walking in the garden because they had done it so many times before. You see? That was their relationship before sin. And disobedience severed that relationship. Their disobeying God and eating from the fruit of the tree that they had been told not to, in disobedience, it severed that walking in the garden in the cool of the day relationship. And that's what happens when we disobey. There are always consequences to our disobedience. But God, loving us the way that He does, okay, promised to restore that relationship. That walking in the garden in the cool of the day relationship, He wanted it back. And He even promised, where we read about in Genesis 3 and verse 15, He promised that He would provide a way for that relationship to be restored. In dealing with each of the participants in the sin, Adam and Eve and the serpent, here's what He said to the serpent, "I will put enmity or strife between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and thou shalt bruise his heel, okay? And he shall crush your head." And that was the first prophecy that God gave concerning the redemption that would come through the blood of His Son on the cross, because He wanted to restore that walking in the garden in the cool of the day relationship with His creation. One of the things that's interesting is you see how God desires to be with His people, that He even walked with the Israelite people when they left the land of Egypt. Notice a couple of things here, okay? By day, notice it was the Lord who went ahead of them, that is, the Israelite people, as they went through the wilderness. It was the Lord who went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or night. Neither one, okay? The pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. Now, wait a minute. Who was it that was there in that pillar of cloud and that pillar of fire? It was God. It was the Lord. And it says He didn't leave His place in front of them. Why? Because God wants to be with His people. You see? He wants to be with His people. And then there's this word, Emmanuel. Okay. Emmanuel, which means God with us. Okay? You see, God loves us so much that He actually came here to be with us. Emmanuel. Okay? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He sent Him here to be with us. Emmanuel. Okay? Here's the prophecy. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call Him Emmanuel, which means God, and there it is, with us. God with us. Why? because He wants to be with His people. Okay? Jesus lived here in this world and walked amongst us. Just like us, He became one of us. The writer of Hebrews puts it this way: since the children have flesh and blood, He too shared in their humanity, so that by His death He might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil. He shared in our humanity. He became one of us. He goes on to say, for this reason, He had to be made like His brothers in every way. Isn't it amazing when you realize that we have a God who created us and then became like us? Why? Because He wanted to be, help me out here, with us. Okay? He wanted to be with us. Paul, in the letter to the Philippian church, says, Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made Himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. You see, He was one of us. One of us. Became one of us. He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even the death on the cross. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus, at the end of His ministry, before He goes back to the Father in heaven, gives us these encouraging words. And in these encouraging words, He gives us a job to do too, by the way. Okay? All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And then look at the very last part. Okay? And behold, I am with you. With you. For how long? Until the very end of the age. So, what does that tell us? He's here right now with us. Okay? Right now. He's with us. Let's talk about for just a moment the words for and the words with. How important are these two words? Well, think about it this way. You know, we tend to focus an awful lot of our faith and our work and the things that we do for the Lord, that we do exactly that. We do it for Him. Okay? But the reality is, God wants us to be doing it with Him, not just for Him. See, it's really easy to kind of get caught up in, you know, all of the motion of doing things and doing and living in obedience, because we know we got to live in obedience, right? And it's really easy to get caught up in doing all of those things for God and not realize that we need to be doing them with Him, not just for Him. Because that's what the relationship is all about. Think about it this way. You know, you have a family, you're married, you have children. You know, what if all you ever did was things for one another in your relationship, in your marriage, or in your family? If all you ever did was do things for one another, but you spent very little time with each other, how strong would your relationship be? And how much better is it when we are doing things for one another with one another? You say, don't we enjoy the relationship so much better? And it's the same way in our relationship with God. He wants us to do things for Him, but He wants us to do them for Him, with Him. You see? And that's the power of with. He calls on us to walk with Him right now. This isn't something that's reserved for the future, but it's right now. Look at what John writes in 1 John. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with, there it is again, okay, one another. Well, we need to make sure we understand who is the one another that it's talking about here. One another is God. We have fellowship with one another, us and God, if we walk in the light as He is in the light.
Amen.
Now, we also have fellowship with one another, those of us who are walking in the light, but primarily what John is saying here is when we walk in the light as God is in the light, we have fellowship with Him, with Him. You see? We're in a relationship with Him, and the benefit of that is that the blood of His Son purifies us from all sin. Why? Because we are with Him. Right? And this, I believe, is designed and intended to prepare us for what I'm referring to as our forever walk. Okay? See, God walked with us. He walked with the Israelites. He's walking with us now. But we need to realize and know that His promise is that He will walk with us forever. Okay? So let's talk about a forever walk. And that forever walk, it's like this is it, okay? It's the end, right? And we've talked about the fact that the Lord is coming back one day.
Amen.
I wish it was today. He's coming back one day.
Amen.
Right? And then the words of Revelation will be fulfilled. The words that Holloway read for us as we began this morning. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look at this, behold, the dwelling place of God, okay, is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
That God is saying to us, when it's all said and done, when everything is over, I'm going to be with you. And you're going to be with me. You see? And that will be our forever walk, to walk with Him forever in eternity. You remember the theme of Revelation? What is it? Oh, come on. Things are bad. They're going to get worse. But in the end, victory is assured, right?
Yeah.
Okay? That's Revelation in a nutshell, right? Okay. Look at what he says at the very end. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning, or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. I don't know about you, but that's part of what I'm looking forward to sharing with every single one of you one day, to be able to walk together with God.
Amen.
For all eternity. That's where I want to be, and I want you to be with me as we walk together with the Lord. Here's another part of this reassurance. Jesus, just before he was arrested and tried and crucified, his disciples, he was preparing them for those events. And here's what he said, and I share this with you, okay, the same spirit. Do not let your hearts be troubled.
Yes.
Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. That means there's plenty of room for all of us. Okay? If it were not so, I would have told you. And then look at this next part. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be
with
me, that you also may be where I am. You see, that's what God wants. He wants us to be together with Him.
Amen.
He wants it so bad that He's gone and prepared that place for us. So that on that great day when He comes back again, He'll be able to take us to be with Him. All who are ready. So, remember, you've got to be ready. Okay? Wesley has a song that he's chosen for us to use as an invitation song. So while we're singing this song, I really want to encourage you to think about the promise that God has given to us, those who belong to Him, that one day we will be with Him. Restored to that relationship in fellowship with God. And all those who hold firmly to their faith, we will get to share in that walk together. Isn't that exciting?
Amen.
And as I said earlier, though we may not see each other again this side of heaven, I look forward to seeing every one of you together with God. If there's some way that we can serve you this morning, you have a prayer request that you would like us to address, it's a great time for you to do that. If there's someone here who's not yet a Christian and you would like to become one, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then call upon Him as your Lord, confess Him as your Lord, repent of the sin that is separating you from God, and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism, and you can do that right now, this morning. For those of you who are worshiping with us online, if you have a prayer request, you can text either Wesley or myself while we're doing this song. Our numbers will be on the screen. And if there's someone who is not a Christian that would like to become one, all you got to do is contact us, and we will make that happen as soon as is possible with you. Just let us know. It's a great opportunity for anyone to respond, to let us know how we might serve you. Let's stand together and sing. Wesley, come on up.